My name's Joanna Kemp and I work for NEVA, so Norsk Institute for Vannforskning. And I'm going to introduce you to a bit to the animals that live in the bed of the stream. So I'll talk a little bit about my work. I do quite a lot of river monitoring, so travel all over Norway taking samples from rivers for the animals that live in the bed, so fundir, and also I do algae surveys in rivers, which is, oh, where has it gone? With that thing has like a glass bottom and I look around and collect different types of algae. And the reason we do it is because what you find in the river tells you about the health of the river. So with the algae, we take little samples of algae back to the lab and look at them under the microscope and identify what types they are. And it can tell you especially about the nutrients going into the river. So somewhere in a really clean forested area will have really different algae to somewhere going through farmland with cattle and runoff fertilizer runoff in fields and so on. So that's what we do the algae for. And then the animals, it's the same thing. We collect the animals, take them back to the lab, identify them, and then from the animals you can say how polluted it is, especially organic pollution, so sewage pollution. And what I'm going to do today is we do kick sampling. So I'm going to kick around in the stream, collect some animals, and we'll see what we found. And there's already some lying around in trays down there, because I did some already. So it takes a while to pick them out and things. So any questions before I start?
Maybe it's to talk about later on, but do you find this little creek very full of life? I've been wondering about this water.
Yeah, there's not very much water in it at the moment. No. Like there's not been much rain, so the level's really low. So when I'm kicking, there's not that much flow going through the net. So I'm not finding that many animals, but I found a good number of things. Mm-hmm. And because there's an urban area up there, so I was expecting it to be a bit polluted, but actually it seems quite good.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So I'm actually surprised, not at the numbers of things I found, but there's a good diversity of things for a tiny stream. Yeah.
Shall we walk down here?
Well, I'm just going to kick around in here.
Okay.
And then put it in. I've left the white thing with water in it, yeah.
So which going to happen?
No, it's on a flat bit, so it can. Easy to sample because there's not very much water in it.
Thank you.
usually when we sample a river, we do it for a standardized, like we do it for 3 minutes in each river so we can compare the time. But because this is small, I'll just do it a little bit, and I've already got some down there anyway. It's a mayfly, Daunfleur. And it's a family called Betadate, and they're very common, and they can tolerate a medium amount of pollution.
Medium amount.
And you get them all over the world. They're about one of the most common things you get. Yeah.
So then they tell you that it's kind of medium polluted.
They tell you. You look at the full range of things, and then you do an average. So, because I found some things in here that are sensitive to pollution, then I think it's quite good. But we can go down, and then we can see the different things I found.
What's the smell thing?
This is. That's a caddis fly larva. So that is vorflue.
But they are at this kind of libelle stadium, or what is it called? Like they are going to be. Fly.
It's a larva. Yeah, larva. They will pupate and then emerge. And then come back and lay their eggs in the thing.
Okay, so when they go out to make their pupa.
Yeah. Well, they make the pupa in the stream, and then they emerge. But a lot of the insects that live in rivers, they spend most of their life in the river. Daunfleur, in that Latin, it's Ephemeroptera, because they're ephemeral. They live a long time in the river, then emerge. Then they don't feed or anything. They just have sex, lay some eggs, and die in 24 hours. Anyway, we can go, if we walk back down to where the white trays are, I've got different things I picked out earlier. Here there's a mixture of things, and here I've put them in different types. So the ones here are the mayflies, Daunfleur that I talked about before, the really common ones that are medium pollution sensitive. Here I think that's a coronamid, so that's a non-biting midge, meek. And they're very pollution tolerant. You find them almost anywhere. These are Steinfleur. Yeah, stoneflies, Plecoptera. And this is the one I found that tells me that the stream's actually quite good, because we have a scoring system. The most common system we use is one where we identify things to different families, and this is a family that scores 10 on the pollution tolerance, which means it's pollution sensitive.
Is that the scale, end of the scale, 10?
Yeah, 10, it goes from 1, the coronavid score 1 and A score 10. But finding these doesn't tell you much. Mm. It's the absence of these that tells you more. Mm. And in this one, we've got a diving beetle. I think that's the Tisky Bay. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's more normal in ponds, so I'm quite surprised to see that here. Mm-hmm. Got more stonefly. These are caseless caddisflies, mm-hmm. so raw fur. Mm-hmm. That.
Wow.
Worm. The worms score 1 because they're very pollution tolerant. Mm. Like if you have a site that's organic, a river that's organically polluted, you can find thousands of usually smaller, tiny little worms, and then you won't find these things. Mm. But I mean, I'm actually quite impressed to find some fairly big animals in here. Cause
when you say worms, do you mean Norwegian pigeons?
Worms. I don't know the Norsk for worm. It's the same. They're the same as they're related to earthworms.
Yeah.
Oligochaetes.
Yeah. Okay, they're related.
So that you get the same type of thing lives in the soil and lives in the river.
No, that much we can
eat. It's like a tube affix worms are. Pollution tolerant worm.
So it's a water worm, it lives in the water.
If you want to see them, you actually have to bend down and stick your face in. But
do they move around or do they live down in the rocks?
Different animals do different things. Like some of them move around, some of them are quite fast and can move around. Some of them are predators, so they actually are quite quick and chase things. There's other types. There's a particular type of fly that it doesn't have any legs or anything, and it's got a sticky thing on its bottom, so it sticks on rocks and fast flows, and then it's got antennae that filter the water, so they just stay still and collect things from the water. So that they can choose to move, but usually they stay still. And a lot of these animals, like if the flow changes or the level goes low or there's a flood, they can hide in the sediment to protect themselves and emerge when it's better. And
that's good news.
That's good news, yeah. Are you surprised, Amin?
A bit, because the area around here is urban, all of it.
The system
is leaking very much. But on the other hand, the lake Østensjøvannet is supposed to be one of the lakes in Norway with the highest density of animals living on the bottom of the lake.
Yeah, these are
bundir. Mm.
Yeah.
What about the plastic, microplastic or something? Did you find anything?
When we look at samples, we kick samples, we don't just collect the animals, we collect lots of everything floats into the net. And sometimes going through samples you do find small bits of plastic. I haven't worked on microplastics, but they are everywhere, and I've seen people in the lab who have collected sediment samples from rivers, and they're specifically looking for, you know, the synthetic football pitches, they're having to go through sediment to count, pick out and count all the little rubber thingies.
Men det som är bundet i området här, så är det ju naturligt att fuglreservatet då, det är ju maten, det hänger samman då. Det är ju intressant det, att det går så mycket fuglar.
But this beetle that usually lives in the pond, that it's here, what does it tell?
It must be living in some of the pool areas.
Yeah, okay. So it's enough pond for one or for it.
It's just, you do see them, but not very often. And it's quite a big one too. They're kind of, they are medium tolerant of pollution. Like in a bigger, if I was sampling a bigger river and a clean river, I would expect to see many different types of stonefly. So here I've seen one type, but the fact I see that at all is a good sign.
So almost dried out before the rainfall now.
Yeah.
So maybe that killed the animals as well.
Yeah, they will go. They will go down and try and hide in the wet areas. But yeah, it's that if it dries up completely, it's not good for anything.
Thank you so much, Joanna.
Thank you.
Continue our walk. We will follow the photograph. On the path, it's not there. Fine. Up there, follow the path.
And I'll release the animals that have been waiting patiently for you.
Yeah. Poor things.
But do they are so small, but do they clean the water or like do they kind of contribute?
I don't know, but they can go to Det er mange graner som har tørket ut her, og dette er et område hvor vi har
Some of them will, if it's organically polluted, they will process some of the pollution.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's enough to really decrease the levels.
So it doesn't make a big difference for the health of the water, kind of? Or
If you want... They are fish food.
Yeah.
So they're part of the cycle of life.
Yeah.
And in some sewage treatment works, they do use biological processes like bacterial communities and animals, but I don't know so much about that. But that's more of a system they've developed for maximum biological activity.
Yeah.
And when you say, like, what did you say? Organically polluted?
Yeah, so...
Is that from, like...
Basically sewage.
Yeah. Not, like, poison or anything.
No, that we would call it toxic pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got different types of pollution. You've got nutrient pollution, which is what you get from fertilizers, like nitrogen and phosphorus pollution, whereas sewage is basically shit.
Yeah.
So, like, yesterday it was, like, a little bit milky.
After rain it's normal, and that can just be like fine sediment in the water.
Yeah.
So it just depends. But runoff, even like a car park, it will have like residue from tires and some oil, and none of that is very good for the stream.
This beetle can get bigger, right?
Some species get big. Some stay small.
Yeah, because last week I helped the biologist to count salamander
and
newt in a pond, and there were so many of these